How many of you came expecting this morning? Amen. Well, part of you, that's good. The rest of you just here to hang out and might pick up on something, might not. Well, you know what? We should always come expecting to hear from the Lord. Amen. You shouldn't just show up on Sunday and go, well, I put in my time, and now I'm going to go. Well, because that's how I grew up. Or maybe you didn't grow up that way, but you're going, I'm going to start going to church, so I'm going to go, and then I'm going to sit there, and then I'm going to say I did it, and that's not going to help you get through the week, y'all. That's not going to help you get through the month and through the years until it's time for Jesus to come back. I'm telling you. We need to start showing up and going, man, I am ready to receive something from the Lord this morning. Amen. Yeah, you can get fired up. So this morning, I hope that if you weren't expecting, that you might ought to be now. Okay, because we've got something. Right? That's right. I saw a bumper sticker Sunday as we were going. We'd gone to eat and we were getting ready. We were heading out to San Antonio. And you know, we always try to title our messages, and I saw this bumper sticker, and I knew that it was the title of a message. Hey, now, not one of those. Some of y'all see how you are. Y'all go there. But it really hit me, and I told Laurie, I said, that's a title of a message. I don't know, but it's a title of a message. It said, Patience, Please, Student Driver. Yeah, amen. That's right. Now, I thought it really might not have anything to do with the message, but it was a great title to a message. But I really think that when we stop and think about the Word of God and that what we're doing, that patience, please, really affects us all. Patience, please, that we are student drivers in the Word of God. Because I don't know everything. In fact, I don't know how much I really know. The more I get in the Bible, I learn something new every time. And it's like, man. And I read the same thing I've read 3 months ago, and it means something. I see something else. So when we say, it said, patience, please, student driver, I thought, wow, that's kind of cool. I taught a Bible study a few weeks ago, and it was about waiting and about the Holy Spirit leading us. And so I'm going to start this message off, but this message is liable to take some turns a little bit, so y'all just let's have fun. Because y'all know me, that's what I'm going to do. And if you don't have fun, it's your own fault. Because anytime we're serving the Lord, it's a lot of fun. Amen? And it always should be. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians. Y'all excuse me if I cough over the mic. I can't get rid of it. So, 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. Say amen when you're there. Say oh my if you're not. That's okay. All right, let's jump in here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, where we're going to start. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. All it's saying right here is that we don't know the things of God, but the Spirit does. Then it's talking about the Holy Spirit. Verse 12 says, Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. Excuse me. And what that's saying is that the Holy Spirit, when we're saved, we get the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit in this verse is our helper. Our helper. You say it talks about the deep things of God. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to flip to the left to John. I'm going to tie these together for you. John chapter 14. That's just to the left a little bit. In my Bible, it's old, probably about 400, 300 pages. I don't know, give or take. Depends on what y'all have. If you're on your phone, I don't know. I can't help you. Sorry. John chapter 14, verse 26. It says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Well, here in this verse, it's talking about that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. That it says that he will teach us all things. Everybody say all. And you know what the all means in the Greek? Means all. That was a tough one, wasn't it? Y'all hang with me here. I know that's tough, but y'all can do it. He's going to teach us all things. The Holy Spirit is so good that he will help you remember things you don't remember. All you have to do is ask. He will quicken your memory. He will quicken your thoughts. Not just about the Bible, y'all, but when you have trouble making that business decision, man, ask for guidance. Ask for help. Ask the teacher. Because if you're being led and you make that business decision, or you have a decision affecting your family and you're being led about that decision, you will know that it's the right decision. Amen? You have to learn how to use the Holy Spirit to guide you. That's what he's there for. Amen? Okay, so that confirms that other verse we read. He's our helper. He's our teacher. Now, you're going to go to the right to verse, to chapter 16. That wasn't too far over, was it? Chapter 16, verse 13. It says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of the truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Now, first of all, that word "show," if you look that up in the Greek, that word "show" means to guide, a guide who shows a traveler the safest course through an unknown country. He's our guide, y'all. He's our guide. He's our helper. He's our teacher. He's our guide. So that when we rely on the Holy Spirit, he will guide us where we're going. Amen? So in Proverbs 16:9, it says that a man deviseth his way in his heart, but that God will direct his steps. See, we plan that, but if we're being led, our guide's going to guide us in our steps. One of my favorites, Proverbs 3, we know, "Trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not on our understanding, but in every way acknowledge him." And what? "And he'll direct your paths." So you, when we're following that guide, the Holy Spirit, he's directing our paths. I had something happen this morning in the truck. Y'all know my grandson, Carson. I picked him up. He comes with me in the morning and helps around here. And then he was having a good time this morning. A bunch of buddies were out playing today. But he and I were talking when I picked him up. And he said, "Yeah, Pops." And he said, "Man." He said, "Ma'am, and Papa got it, and Lolly's got it." And he said, "Man, I'm telling you what." I said, "Yeah, that stinking devil." And he said, "Man, he tries to mess up our plans, doesn't he?" I said, yeah, he does. But you know, that's pretty neat when he knows that that's the devil messing it up. You know, it's not one of these, oh, it just happened or whatever. No, there's a devil and there's a God. And it's neat when your grandson's talking to you and says, that stinking devil is trying to mess up everyone's plans, but we're not going to let it. Amen. That's right, because we have control over that, you see. That's when we got to learn to start standing up and fighting. Well, where this sermon's going, because y'all are probably going, well, okay, I kind of see where he started, but I don't really know where it's going. Well, that's why we have the Holy Spirit, because, you know, hey, this is a different path for me today. I never write like this. This is not how I do my notes. But the Holy Spirit had me change things, and so I'm up for change. The conference we were at was very Spirit-filled, and that just like our church is Spirit-filled. As I took notes through the different ministers speaking, I was thinking also about what I had to do today. And so I'd mark something here or there, and so as I was reading back through my notes, and just then the Holy Spirit goes, just follow me, and here's your sermon. So here's the sermon. The first minister that got up and spoke said, when we're doing our what, we'll find our why. Well, I just got through talking about being led and doing what the Holy Spirit guides us to do. So if we're doing our what, then are we being led? Are we doing our what and staying in the Word and being led? That's our what, if that we're doing our life according to God. Amen? That you're following what you're supposed to be doing, then you're going to find out, here's where I'm going. Amen. See, that's what our guide's for. So, are we doing our what today? Are you doing your what? It's kind of like what I talked about, my what. There could be a sermon there, I don't know. But a while ago when I was talking about that, I used to make fun of being the third string preacher or whatever, you know, here, because I would preach. And somebody corrected me and said, you know, that's, you shouldn't. And I really thought about it, you know, and I was at a minister's conference and really realized that this is my what. And I've come to accept that. But we have to accept our what. What is your what? Amen? So as long as we're doing it in the Word of God, then your what's going to get you to where you're going. The guide will guide you to what, to why. Amen? You with me? Come on. All right. So when we're doing our what, flip over to Hebrews. And see, I told y'all, you can't be able to get afraid to get out of your comfort zone. This is different for me today, because it's not like I normally do things. You know, we all have our little ways, and even though that we learn to let the Holy Spirit when we preach or be led, when we do that, but we still have certain things that make us comfortable. Like I told you, when I first started doing this, I didn't have my fiddle anymore up here. You know, when you start preaching the Word of God, I could spit cotton balls across the room when it was my first time to preach. I'm telling y'all, that's not comfort. Okay, me having that fiddle up here, no matter what I'm doing, that's comfort. So don't be afraid to get out of your comfort zone, no matter where you're at in your access to your what to get to why. Don't be afraid to get out of that comfort zone. Chapter 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Say, diligently seek him. That's right. So if we're doing our what, diligently seeking Him, oh my, wait, I like, what did that said? He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Amen? I mean, that's good. That's real good. If we're diligently seeking Him, if we're staying in the Word, okay, and we're relying on the Holy Spirit to lead us, then we know that we're being led. Then He rewards those who diligently seek Him. So the next minister, and this is just one thing out of each one. What do you do? What you do in the middle determines what you do next. Now, y'all stop and think about that. What you do in the middle, okay, so let's talk. If you're going through something and you're in the middle of it, what you do determines what comes next. Do you do this or do you do this? See, God works with movement. It's about movement. It's about us moving. It's not about us sitting, okay, I'm in the middle of this, so guess what? Sorry, Gene. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to go, well, this might pass, okay? And if it doesn't, I'm going to just sit here. I'm not doing a thing. That doesn't work, y'all. God wants us to move. Understand? He doesn't want us to sit down or lay down. It doesn't matter how bad you've been beat up or whatever. He wants us moving. But He wants us being led when we move. You see, faith without works is dead. So if our faith, if we're not doing anything, then nothing's going, nothing. It's not, not, zero. So God works with movement. When we're in the midst of those things, we get frustrated sometime, right? Because sometimes if you think that if, I'm not listening to God, I'm going this way. Well, it don't go like you thought it should go because you just decided to do it yourself. But when we're led and we're being led and we go this way, there still may be some frustration. Y'all flip over to Psalms 37. Ooh, Jesus. I love it. I want y'all fired up. I want y'all fired up. Man, we got too much to do. We have too many people to touch. You understand? We do. And it's our job. Our job. I can tell you, no matter where you're at in your walk, as you get more into the Word of God, you quit being afraid to say anything about God. See, so when you first start out, you're kind of, even though you're real excited about knowing God, but you're still kind of, because some people, you know, there are people that don't believe in God. I don't know if y'all knew that or not, but just a few. But you know what I'm saying is, but as you grow, you'll learn to be excited, but you'll learn also that you don't have to go like this and go, bam, now you got God. I mean, there are a few people, you can't do that. I know there's probably a few people, some of y'all would like to hit with one, but you can't do that. That doesn't bring the Spirit of God upon them. I know, never mind, let's move on. Psalms 37. We'll start in verse 7. So we're talking about movement and how we're moving, but when we're moving and you get frustrated, you don't quit moving. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. In other words, if he's not prospering through God, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Oh, that said, the ugly word, wait. Wait. Now, I know that there are people that do not like that ugly word, wait. But some of us should be glad that God waits on us. Amen? Now, I have to tell y'all that I have noticed parents, and I'm a parent, so I had little kids, and we've all done it. But we should be glad that God doesn't do us the way that we did our kids when they're little, and that parents do them the way they are now. Because, you know, your kids go, Mom, 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 Mom. Don't say a word. Mom, 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 Mom. Don't say a word. Finally, you go, what? Aren't you glad God doesn't do that to us? I mean, stop and think about it. And we're probably all guilty of that. And if you're not, man, I'm proud of you. Because, and maybe if you hadn't been a parent, you haven't experienced that yet, but you will. But you know what I'm saying? It's that if we wait on the Lord and have patience, then we inherit the earth. So maybe we should learn, but when we go, we say, God, oh, he'll answer us. But now it's not sometime the answer that we want, or it might not be quick enough. But I don't think, because now, when if we did God that way, God, you really think you'd get tired of that? I don't know. You know he wouldn't. God loves us. God loves us. How could he? Because he says, call out to me, right? I don't think he said like that, though, but amen. Y'all flip over to Romans 8. Are y'all getting this? Come on. Romans 8. Oh, man. Let's speed up. Romans 8, verse 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope that for that we see not, sorry y'all, then do we with patience wait for it. So in other words, stuff that we see we don't hope for, but if we're hoping for things that we can't see yet, what did it say? We with patience wait for it. Amen. Romans 12 says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation. Everybody say tribulation. Now everybody say patience with a smile. That's right. Patience in tribulation and prayer constantly. Amen. Now, so we've got to the patience, through patience and through our steps and through movement and waiting. The next minister, and I wrote this down, it really stuck with me because I thought, he said, you know what the acronym for the Bible is? I never heard this. I don't know why. It's basic instruction before leaving earth. I like that. I thought, man, I got to use that. That's good. I'll have to tell Chris I used it. But he said one thing that really stuck out that fits with what's the message the Holy Spirit showed me is he said, Satan neutralizes us when we're still. Keep moving. No matter what you're going through or what's stuck or what not stuck or you're expecting, to keep moving. And then Dennis back here, he said, it stuck out, let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. Amen. We got to let the Holy Spirit do his thing so we can follow him. We've got to be open to letting the Holy Spirit guide us. And he said, talked about being ashamed of God or being a Christian. And that ashamed word, he said, was unwilling or restrained because of fear. Oh, that's an ugly word, fear, isn't it? Yesterday, I had to run to the laundry and do some laundry because we've been gone so long, and I'm leaving in a little while, and Laurie's leaving again tomorrow, and it's just crazy. And there was a man there, and I'll tell y'all real fast because this is beautiful, and then I'll move faster. But the guy was in wool socks and tennis shoes in shorts and had a T-shirt on, had it tucked in real nice. I had some kind of weird necklace on. He's probably about 75. And he had sunglasses on. He had those noise-canceling earphones on. And I'm sitting in the truck because I'm waiting on the clothes. And he's out there, and he's all of a sudden, he got a soccer ball out. This man's 75 years old. He's going to kick the ball around a little bit. And then he got in his back of his trunk. He got a set of golf clubs out. We're going to hit golf balls now. I didn't. Like play it again sports in a car. Oh, come on, y'all. That was better than that. And he gets an air pump out that's brand new. And he opens it up and puts it on. And he starts to air this up, and then he starts doing this. I kid you not. And I started the video, but I was afraid he'd see me. Because I was hoping we could put it on the screen today. Now, but I've got to go in one more description. He had a man named Bernie Hare who's running for president. That kind of hair, kind of looked like him, really. And he starts this. And he's going. I kid you not. Right there on the main street in Burnett, on that 281. Oh, my Lord, I was crying. I thought, oh, I hope he can't see me. But you know what that made me think of? What Dennis said about being ashamed. We should be that way about God. We shouldn't care who's around to tell somebody about God. Or that we believe in God, or that we're going to God in prayer, or that, you know what, we just should be able, it's okay. So we shouldn't be ashamed. Just remember, dance like nobody's watching, because that's why he would do it. Oh, my Lord. And then Pastor Corey talked about what we've talked about before at church, calling things that are not as though they were. In Luke 12, it says, to seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, it says, because God's pleasure to give you the kingdom. To fear not. Psalms 34 says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from my fears. I sought the Lord, and he delivered me from my fears. When we're having our paths directed, and we are moving, but we get hung up in the middle of all that stuff, are we going to allow to be stagnant or crawl up in a little ball? Are we going to allow the fear to come in? Are we going to diligently seek the Lord and follow the Lord? And do what he says. Are we going to be patient? That patient word, like, you know, Fonzie used to couldn't say those words on patience. Are we going to be have patience in the middle of stuff? Because that's when we see the reward, y'all. That's when we see the reward. Say reward. Amen. And then we had one minister, and he said this. He said, focus on the future. When you stop and think about it, if we're trying to be movement, and because I know most of us we don't want to stay in the same spot we are in life. You know what? Man, our object is to grow. grow in the Lord, and then we'll be blessed, and we'll be able to bless other people, and we can grow. So, when we start getting in the midst of those things, we start thinking about what's back here. What did I go through? Man, remember that time that I had to file bankruptcy, or I did this, or, you know, that I did that, or I got arrested, or I got this, or I got that, or remember this. It says, focus on the future. And he said this. He said, your memory replays your past, but your imagination preplays your future. Ooh, Jesus. Think about that. Because your imagination or your dream, y'all can dream big, can't you? Oh, man. Don't forget how big your God is. Our God's bigger than anything. So can you dream big? Can you vision big? Then focus on the future instead of the past. And then you'll see things start happening. You'll quit thinking about all those past failures and all that junk that caused you to do whatever. That's what pulls you down. But when we learn to be led and we stay on that path and we have our guides, the Holy Spirit, He is so good, then you will be on the right path. Amen? 2 Timothy says, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a soul sound mind. Listen, y'all. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. It's a power of power. And if we learn how to use that power, woo, Jesus. And then, the lady that spoke the last night, Lynette, man, she was awesome. And she talked about in John 5, if you remember the man by the pool that was paralyzed and he was wanting to be healed, but he couldn't get in the pool because he said every time he went, he couldn't get in there, nobody would help him in, so somebody always beat him to get healed in the pool. And Jesus came and he saw him and knew him. Y'all stop and think about that for a minute. Jesus sees you and he knows you. He sees you and he knows you. But she put it in a perspective I had never thought of, which was so cool. Because that pool, there were people everywhere laying around that pool waiting for that angel to stir that water so one person gets saved, that gets healed. So you know there's, for lack of a better term, there's bodies laying around everywhere. Or people standing up. Or she saw him and she knew. He saw him. So you just stop and think. If he went to that man, he had to step over people and he had to step around people to get to him. That's what he did for you. That's what he did to you. He saw you. He stepped toward you on purpose, y'all. It's you. Isn't that cool? Oh, my Lord. When she said that he stepped over people. But then the Holy Spirit said, yes, but he stepped to you and to you and to you. Amen? Our God is so good. Oh, my Lord, don't you want that? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Have y'all had a good time this morning? Amen. Hey, you know, there's one thing that we would never do without, before we close the service, is the opportunity to receive him to come to you and say, I want you. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then we're going to give you a chance to right now. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord Savior, man, I beg you to. Because there is a place called hell and there is a place called heaven. And man, we want you to get saved today. I want you to be today as your God day. So we're not going to ask you to come to the front. We're not going to ask you to stand up where you're at. We're not going to make you do anything by yourself, but we're just going to say a prayer out loud. And we're going to have all the believers say it with you. Because they need to know this prayer too, so they can lead people to Jesus. So if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, right now, believers, I want y'all to say it with me and with us. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I ask you to come in and save me. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I thank you for dying on that cross. And I thank you, Father, that today, that it's my God day. In Jesus' name. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed still, if you just gave your life to Jesus, and that's the first time you've said that prayer, on the count of three, would you just stick your hand up and then put it right back down? We just want to get you a Bible. So on the count of three, be bold and get that hand up, and then we'll put it right back down. One, two, three. Anybody? Thank you. I see you right there. Anybody else? Anybody else? Be bold. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. Amen. Y'all look up here. Yeah. Woo! All right. We got a new brother or sister in Christ today, so we can go ahead and turn that down. Thanks, Dave. Man, it's good. I'm going to have John come up real quick, and then I'm going to make some announcements and close this out.
Well, you know, all of the pastors and all the preachers that we have here, we don't have any that are paid by the church. Corey works without a salary. None of our preachers here get paid. None of us work. We all work by just love offerings. We let the Lord provide for us, because God is our sufficiency, even if we have a job. So Ricky is one of the pastors that has the privilege of preaching at our church. And so this is for him. And so if you want to bless him for the word that he's taught us today, that's what this is for. And the word says that you take care of those that plow the field. So there you go.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
All right. So, a few announcements real quick before we get out of here. Need painters to paint arena. March the 7th, about 8 hours, please see Heidi ASAP. All right. She's going to buy supplies this week, so if you can help painting on March the 7th, the arena, because remember, we're getting ready. The rodeo's coming up in April, so we need to get that arena painted. I hate it, but I'll be out of town that Saturday. Hey, the first year we were here, Laurie and I and Dad and Cecil painted all of that front out there and that sign over there. I'm glad I'm out of town. Thank you. There's still some rodeo sponsorships available. Anywhere from 11,000 down to 150 available. If you would like to be, I think, event sponsor, shoot sponsor, we still have some available. So Rick Hager's over here. If you'd like to sponsor something, then please see him. Concession workers still needed for the rodeo, and Joni, I guess, is with AJ since she's got the grandkids, but see Joni for that. And the play days start in April at our arena, so they still need a few helpers for that. It's once a month, so be sure and check with Heidi on that. Is there anything else, Miss Heidi? That's it? All right, y'all. Have you had a... please be sure it's early voting right now. So y'all be sure and get out and vote. Amen? All right, well, stand to your feet. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for just using me this morning. And these folks, Father, as they leave here, they know that you don't stay here, but that you go with them, that you never leave us, you never forsake us, Father. I just plead the blood of Jesus over them as they leave this place. Father, we just thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. With a big round of applause, you're dismissed.